Hello, welcome back to another one of these recorded messages to a cold and a wet London here today. Very chilly. Everyone thought it was spring and now it's not. It's autumn again. Anyway, you're most welcome. We again remind you that these messages are coming to you from the Uxbridge Road Tabernacle, which is a Reformed Baptist church in London, in England, the United Kingdom. And again, we will remind people that the idea of these was to allow the youngsters from our church to have the opportunity to think about the things of the Bible, because they are so, so important. Sadly, not too many people are now listening to these. So we're going to reflect on that. Our youth work physically starts back in the church as from the 10th of May, with the boys that particular evening, and then the girls later on in the week, and then the Sunday school on a Sunday. So if you are from Shepherd's Bush, this is a reminder. You would hopefully have received a letter by now reminding you, telling you that we are starting back, and it'd be great to see people. Really, really good. But for now, we've got some good things, some interesting things, some challenging things. And we're going to start off with the catechism. Now, once again, you'll remember that catechism is very old document. I can tell you it's very old because some of the books we use, that's pretty old. I think that's about 40, 50 years old. And then there's this one, which on the back of it has 12 pence, and that makes it very old indeed. But the actual principle of the catechisms goes back hundreds of years, apparently, hundreds of years. And what it is a series of questions and answers, and the answers are supported by references from the Bible. So it's a good way of just focusing in on the truths of the Bible and trying to understand them. So we're going to look at those next. Now, here we go. Lots of button pressing and clicks and all sorts of things going on, and hopefully we'll come up with the right thing. And that'll be good. I'm just going to turn my camera off because you do not want to be distracted by my ugly face. So here's the first one. Catechism for Young People, number 19. Let's just quickly look in the book. There's 140, so we've got a way to go. We probably won't get that far, but we've got a way to go. But they are interesting things. Here we go. What did God give Adam and Eve beside bodies? What did Adam and Eve receive from God beside bodies? And it's an interesting question. It's a serious question because, as we'll think about it in a moment, it affects all of us. So here's the answer. He gave them souls that could never die. Souls. Now, what we could also put here in the place of souls would be a spirit. I say that because the Bible references we're about to think about uses the word spirit. Here we go. Ecclesiastes, that's a great book. Chapter 12, verse 7. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Now, we've got a funeral in the church tomorrow. And we talk about the body returning to dust, and that's what happens in that first part. But the spirit returns to God who gave it. So we have a soul or a spirit. Now here's another one. Zechariah, towards the back of the Old Testament. This is part of Zechariah 12, verse 7. Thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundations of the earth and forms the spirit of the man within him. So God is saying there that God created the heavens and God laid the foundations. That's the thing which something is built upon. So the foundations, or that the earth was built upon, but also the spirit of the man within him. So that gives you an understanding how important the soul or the spirit is, because in God's word, God is bringing it together with the stretching out of the heavens and the foundation of the earth. and also talks about the spirit or soul of mankind. Let's move on to number 20, I think. Now, the fingers pointing at each one of us. Have you a soul as well as a body? Do you know millions? No, let's make that bigger. Billions of people don't consider this. They just live their lives as if their lives are just to be lived for themselves, and they don't consider that they have a soul as well as a body. So what's the answer? Yes, I have a soul that can never die. Many people talk about, oh, I want to live forever. I don't want my skin to get old. I want to be fit and strong for all of my life and beyond. Well, that doesn't happen. But we have a soul or a spirit that is eternal. Bible reference. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? Again, that points to the importance of it. You imagine all the riches of this world, but if you were to lose your soul over it, then you have lost out completely. Because our soul lives for eternity, and the riches of this world live for however long we live for. Let's move on. 21. How do you know that you have a soul? Quite an easy answer, this one. If it comes up, here we go. Because the Bible tells me so. Because the Bible tells me so. Now, we could say, well, it's a book. No, it's God's word. The word of God. That's why it's so important. Luke 12, verse 20. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Who required that man's soul? God. God wanted to see that man. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Wow, that's a big ask, isn't it? As we were saying nowadays, a big ask, that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength. The only way we can do that is if we are loving God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, knowing him and loving him with all our hearts. We're going to move on. We've got something interesting now coming up. Let's click on something to see how we go.
So today we're going to think about God, but we're going to think about ourselves as well. So I want you to carefully think about what I'm going to say. I wonder if you've ever worked really hard to finish something. Maybe you put together a super hard jigsaw puzzle. Perhaps it had hundreds of pieces and you managed to put it all together. Or maybe you won your favourite game on your tablet or computer. Maybe you've been writing a story and you finally completed it. Whatever it was, I'm sure it felt really good to finally finish it. It was something you made. Well, in a similar way, Jesus, our Creator, took great joy in making all of us. And I'm talking about you. The Bible tells us that God made us just the way he planned. Even before you were born, he designed your fingerprints, your toe prints, and every other part. The Bible says, for you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. You were no accident, but you were specially designed by our all-powerful God, and there is no one in this world exactly like you. You're one of a kind. Even with over 7 billion people on this planet, nobody else is exactly like you. God created you just the way he wanted. Psalm 119 says, "Your hands have made me and fashioned me. From your tongue to your walk to your smell, you truly are unique." Let's think about our fingers. There's a reason police look for fingerprints at a crime scene. No two people have exactly the same arches, whorls, and loops. Not even identical twins. And what about our eyes? Sure, lots of people have the same colour eyes as you, but that doesn't mean that they're the same. If you look closely, you'll see that God gave each one of us unique irises. That word unique means that there isn't another one like it. The irises are the coloured parts of your eyes, and they have some amazingly unique patterns. Even your own 2 irises, your left one and your right one, are different from each other. Let's think about our toes. Just like the patterns on your fingers, your toe prints belong only to you. Those skin ridges along also make your toes better at gripping the sand as you run to the ocean. And what about your lips? The next time you walk by a mirror, look at your lips. Nobody else has the same lines and patterns that you have. Your smile really is one in a trillion. Now what about voices? When you hear your dad calling in a crowded, noisy house, you know it's him. You also know immediately when your favourite singer comes onto your headphones or on the TV. Why? Because God gave us all a one-of-a-kind voice that we can use to praise him. Did you know that some researchers use computers to identify people by the way they walk? The angle of your feet, the way your legs spring forward, how hard you step? No one else walks just the way you do. Your uniqueness goes right down to your teeth too. Right now your teeth may be falling out or growing in again. But that doesn't change the fact that no two teeth are exactly the same. Your teeth are all yours. No one has the same teeth as you. And what about your tongue? Stick out your tongue and look in the mirror. You see all those bumps and creases? God gave you a licking and tasting machine that is exclusive to you. Now, when Jesus made you, he also had a plan and a purpose. What is the purpose? Well, it's not a mystery. God knows how long you'll live and everything that you'll do. Psalm 139 says, "Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." God knew from before time began who we were going to be and what we were going to do. But Jesus had a higher purpose for us. Jesus has made you to know him. All things were created through him and for him. Do you know you're here to enjoy him and to worship him and to know what he did for you when he died on a cross and rose to life again? He made a way for your sins to be forgiven by dying on that cross and taking the punishment that we all deserve. We are here to love and to serve him on earth now and forever in heaven.
Thank you very much indeed. Now, you'll recall last week that we were thinking about Paul and the start of his journeys, and we're going to continue with that now. And one of our church members has recorded something for us. So if you listen up, that'd be great.
Hello there. Welcome back to our lessons on Paul. In this picture, we've got Paul telling the Christians at Antioch about all the wonderful things that God did on their first missionary journey. Do you remember all the things that we've learned about Paul? Remember how Paul, to start with, wasn't a very nice man, was he? But he became a Christian. And now Paul was so happy that he wanted to share the Bible and the gospel with everyone, with all the people that he could meet. Do you also remember how he came to a place called Antioch and lived with some Christians there? And how those Christians sent him and Barnabas on their first missionary journey to all those towns and all those cities. And do you remember how they reached the town of Lystra and Derbe? Remember all the things that happened in those two places? How there were so many people that hated God's message and tried to kill Paul and Barnabas. But there were some who did listen, some who did want to hear about what God had to say. And some became Christians, didn't they? And so here we have Paul telling the church about all those wonderful things. Well, Paul and Barnabas, after all these journeys, went back to Antioch. And they stayed there again with the church. And they lived with them and they served with them. But after many months, they decided to go on another long journey. A second missionary journey. But this time, Paul was going to go with a new companion, and that was Silas. So do you remember Barnabas? Barnabas was going to do something else, but Paul was going to go with Silas. So the plan was to go back through all those towns and cities that they had ministered to, where they had set up all the churches, and they had preached to all those people. They wanted to go back and encourage all the Christians living in those towns. So remember all those places? Lystra, and Derbe, Iconium, Antioch. They went through all of those places and they went strengthening the believers in those places and helping them to remember the Lord Jesus Christ and all the things that God had taught them. Anyway, eventually they came to a place called Troas. And while there, Paul had this dream, this vision. And in this vision, there was a man from Macedonia in Greece who was standing there, pleading with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now, this wasn't any ordinary dream. No, this dream was sent by God. This vision was sent by God. And Paul realized this. Paul realized that it was really God that was calling him to go to this strange place called Macedonia. Now, I want to tell you something about Macedonia. Macedonia is the first place in Europe that Paul is going to minister and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And eventually, that's going to reach a place called England, where we are. This is the beginning. This is showing us the beginning of how the gospel and God's message was going to all the places in the world. And now we live in a great time where the Bible has been to so many countries. But at this time, it was really happening for the first time. Anyway, Paul told his companions, and they all realized that it was God calling them to go to Macedonia. So they packed all their bags and they got on a boat and they made their way to Macedonia. Now, they went to Macedonia, and as they went there, they reached a place called Philippi. Now, Philippi was one of the major cities in Macedonia. It was a very important place. And there used to be lots of trade. There used to be lots of things happening. It was a bit like London, very, very busy. Lots of people making money and going to work there. And there were lots of people from different countries, you know, people from Europe and other people from Asia. So it was a very important city in those days. Now, while Paul was there, he went to a river. And this river was well known for being a place where lots of people used to go there to pray, particularly Jewish people. They used to go there on their holy day, the Sabbath. You know, like how we have our day on Sunday to go to church, where they used to go to this river on the Sabbath, which was on a Saturday. Anyway, lots of Jewish women used to go there. And Paul decided to take the opportunity to speak to some of these women and to talk to them about all that God had to say and about Jesus Christ. Now, amongst those women, there was one particular woman called Lydia. And we're going to hear a few things about her. Now, Lydia was from a town called Thyatira. Thyatira. And now she was living in Philippi, probably because of, you know, it's a bit like London. It's an important place. Now, she used to sell an expensive material that was purple. Now, that might seem quite simple, but actually in those days, this purple material, this cloth, was very expensive, and only rich people in high positions were able to afford it. And so Lydia used to have lots of this material, and she would sell this. And because she used to sell this, she was a businesswoman, because she used to sell this rich material, it made her very wealthy. It made her very rich. Lots of people used to pay her lots of money to be able to buy this material. And eventually she would have become a very wealthy person and would have lived in one of these big houses, one of these Roman villas. So she would have been very rich, and she would have had lots of servants, people to do things for her. And so she would have been very privileged and had lots and lots of things. Anyway, the other thing that we should know about Lydia was that she was friendly with some Jewish women, some of those women that used to go by the river to pray on the Sabbath. And she used to go with them all the time. She used to go there every week. You see, Lydia wasn't really a Jewish woman. She, as I said, was from, do you remember where she was from? Thyatira. So she was a Gentile. She was someone that was not Jewish. Yet she believed in the true God of the Bible. She believed in the Bible that the Jewish people believed in. And she loved this God. And she used to come on the Sabbath to this river to pray with these women because she cared about this God. The trouble is that she didn't really know this God, and she didn't really have a personal relationship with this God. So he was very far from her. Now, one thing to learn is how consistent and how Lydia used to come to hear what these women were saying and to pray with them all the time. And I think this should teach us that if we can, we should try and come to Sunday school. And I want to encourage you to go to Sunday school, to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ, to hear about all the things that God wants us to hear. Do you know why? Because if we go, we will hear a very special message, just like Lydia did. You see, because Lydia was there, she was able to hear those amazing things that Paul had to say. And in those days, the things that Paul was saying was truly amazing. He was telling these people, these women, about Jesus Christ being the Savior, being the promised Messiah. And in those days, people didn't know about that. They knew some details about it, but they didn't know about the Savior having come. And they didn't know that Jesus had died for them, that Jesus loved them, so much. And so Paul would have told these women and would have told Lydia about the love of their Lord Jesus Christ. And we are told another wonderful thing. We are told in the Bible that while Lydia was listening to all the things that Paul was saying, the Lord opened her heart. The Lord opened her heart. And because of that, she was able to receive all the things she was hearing in her heart. And she believed it. And she trusted it. And because of that, she became a Christian. She became a Christian. Now, it's very, very important for us to learn and understand what the difference is between how Lydia listened and how other people listened. You see, lots of people hear things about the Bible and they just hear it. You know, it just goes through their ears and they understand it, but it doesn't really mean anything to them. But you see, for Lydia, when she heard those things, it affected her heart. She heard about Jesus Christ and she loved him. And she loved what she was hearing about all the things that he had done. And she wanted to become a Christian and know that her sins were forgiven. And I hope, boys and girls, you will want to really understand that wonderful message as well. Not just hear it, not just know it, but actually to really understand it so that it would change your life as well. Let's think about a few things about Lydia. Remember I said she was rich? Well, you know what? She wasn't trusting her riches. She, even though she was wealthy, she knew that money and riches and all her expensive clothing could meant nothing to God. And so she wasn't looking to that. She was looking to Jesus Christ. The other thing I said was that Lydia was a businesswoman, which means that she was probably very clever. She was very smart in the way that she did things. But do you know something? She realized that she needed to trust God only for her salvation and his Bible and what God was saying. That was the only thing she could trust so that she could be saved. She couldn't trust how clever she was or all the things she had achieved. That didn't count for anything. So all the good things that we do in life, even at school, when it comes to God, we really have to trust God himself, not what we do. Finally, she used to take a lot of decisions, didn't she? Being a businesswoman, she would have been telling other people what to do. And because she was able to have servants, she would have told them what to do as well. But she realized that before God, she was helpless, that she needed help. And she couldn't get rid of her sin, which was her biggest problem. And so she needed Jesus Christ to change her heart. She needed him. And do you know something, boys and girls? We need to be like that as well. We need to realize that we need Jesus Christ. And he's the only one that can help us to be really good, to be better. He's the only one that can take away our sin so that we can have a really loving relationship with God and have peace with him. I hope you can understand that. Now, the other thing that is very good to remember is, remember what I said about how she was able to listen? God opened her heart. You know, that's the only way that we are gonna really understand the things of God. We need God to open our heart. And I hope you can pray to God to help you open your heart so that you can really understand and take in the things of God. So, we've heard that Lydia got saved and was converted and became a Christian. The next thing that she did, because this was such a wonderful event in her life, is she became baptized. And all that meant is that she was happy to show everyone in her life that she was now a Christian. What a wonderful thing that she wanted to do, that she wanted to be baptized. And do you know, this had the effect and her family. Her family saw these things and heard these things, and they too became Christians as well because of her example. And so this teaches us so much about how when we live like Christians, we can be a good example to all our friends and all our family. And that's what she did. See, the thing is, Lydia, she wasn't just a Christian in name. She was completely changed by being a Christian. She became a new person. And she had a new heart. She wanted to help people. She was so loving now. Before, maybe she was really interested in herself. And she just wanted to do things for herself because she wanted to. And maybe she was very bossy. But actually, when she became a Christian, she was completely changed. And we see this because whenever the apostles, remember Paul and Silas and all the other people that were with them, whenever they needed help, Lydia was there to help them. Whatever they needed, whether it was a place to stay or money that they needed, she was able to help them. She invited them to her house as well after all these things happened. And Paul and Silas and all their friends knew that they had a safe place to be because of the kindness of Lydia. And that's what happens when you become a Christian. God changes you, boys and girls. God turns you into something new. Someone that is loving, that wants to please God. Someone that wants to do what is good all the time. And that's what God does. And that's what God can do for you as well. So I want you to pray that God would open your heart to receive the gospel, to receive his news, and that also that you'd understand more about Jesus Christ. Well, I hope you've learned a lot today. And next time, we'll hear more about another wonderful part of Paul's journey. Well, I'll see you next time, and God bless you.
Thank you very much indeed. So we come to the end of this recorded message. I do hope that you've enjoyed it, but also gained some interesting knowledge from it that you will apply and see whether you have the need to have salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to close in prayer now. Almighty God, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord God, for the internet, Lord God, which enables us to have these recorded messages and good things, Lord, through the internet. We do pray, Lord God, that you may help us, Lord God, to think about the life of Lydia, how her life was changed when she came to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. We do thank you, Lord God, for that. We do pray, Lord God, that you may help us to remember how special we are, created uniquely. And we do pray, Lord God, that you may help us to remember that we have souls that will never die. And one day we will stand before you. Lord God, be with us, guide us, bless us, we do pray. Watch over us, we would ask, and we do pray these things in your Son's holy name. Amen. Take care then. Goodbye. Thank you for listening. See you next time.